Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And this week, I've been making my way through chapter 5 of John's Gospel. It's one of the readings that the church has given us in this season of Lent. I think it was this past Wednesday, and actually today, yesterday and today, parts of it are there. And there's so much revealed about the drama that's unfolding, the conflict that Jesus is facing. The heat's getting turned up. The religious leaders are coming after him. They're resisting his revelation. They're resisting his teaching. They're knocking heads with him. And eventually, they, along with others, are going to ultimately crucify Christ. And the story is not about how bad those people were. The story is, look at the condition of the human heart. Jesus reveals not only to the religious leaders that the sin problem is present in each one of them, but on the cross, Jesus reveals the true condition of the human heart across the board. Love came. I mean, pure love came. Love itself. God came in the person of his Son to bring freedom, to bring love, to bring salvation. And what do? We crucified him. The sin of the whole world crucified Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just some religious leaders in Jerusalem. It reveals the truth. And I always remember, I've said this many times in this show, just simply echoing the words of St. John Paul II, that we see on the cross of Jesus Christ, and now we're moving in Lent. We're in the fourth week of Lent. We're moving toward Calvary. And hopefully, friends, you're taking time in your busy life to come away with the Lord, to meditate on these readings, to think about the revelation that's here. Because this stuff, even though it might seem, oh, it's here every year, we hear it all the time, this is the life-changing good news and truth about Christ and a revelation of who we are, a true understanding of the human person. And so John Paul II said, on the cross, we see three faces, the face of God, which is God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. The love of God is revealed. Jesus said, you know, no greater love is a man than this, he'd lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for you, friend. You are his friend. I am his friend. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. While we were yet sinners, he loved us and showed that love by dying on a cross for us. We see the face of sin, as I mentioned. We crucified. Sin wants to silence the voice of God. Sin wants to rule. Sin wants to reign. Wants to dominate. And so sin kills. And sin produces killing and death. And Mary told the children of Fatima, for example, that war is a punishment for sin. It's the logic and the dark dynamic of sin as it gets its head, as it builds up steam, as it gets a hold of more human hearts and goes deeper and deeper into the will, it will produce death and violence and war. So Jesus came to destroy that power. The face of God, the face of sin, and the face of man. We see in Jesus, the second Adam, the true face of what we are meant to be. A face that's turned toward God, that offers our life to God the Father, that freely, in love, obeys God. That's the road to human happiness. That's it. That's where the gold is. That's where human fulfillment is. Every one of you listening to the program, we all want to be. We want to be fulfilled. We want to know joy. We want to know wholeness and completeness and happiness and freedom. It can be found in one place, in one way, in Jesus Christ, walking in his footsteps, being baptized into him, and living his life in the power of his Spirit, in his church, receiving the graces he gives us, in his sacraments, in his preaching, in his teaching, and the life and the ministry of the church. He is it. So we ended yesterday in John chapter 5 in verse 24, where Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders who are really angry at him because he violated two things. One was on the Sabbath, he did a work. He healed a crippled man. No work on the Sabbath. And number two, he said, the Father's working, so I'm working. And he made himself equal to the Father, which really aggravated them. So then Jesus talks about his relationship with the Father. He said, I do nothing apart from the Father's will. So you're condemning me today, essentially Jesus is saying, and this work that I did according to the will of my Father, I do his will and you condemn me? What does that say about you? I mean, that's partly what's getting revealed and why there's so much resistance there that's building up in them. For the Father loves the Son, Jesus said. He said, the Father gives life to the Son. The Son gives life to whom he wills. That's eternal life, God's life, divine life. And the Son is also given judgment, the power to judge the world of flesh and the devil. And sin is given to the Son. So all authority is in his hands. We talked yesterday about him being Lord. And then he ends this section here, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Eternal life comes from Jesus. It's the only place it comes from for the human race. He goes on to say, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus has come to bring us from death to life. Sin's nearness to us produces death. Jesus comes to deal with the sin problem so we can have life. In verse 25, he goes on, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man. It's going to come right around the corner when he speaks to his friend Lazarus, who's been dead in the tomb for 3 or 4 days, and he hears the voice of the Son of Man, and he comes forward. So Jesus said, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear him live. If you want to live, if you want to have life, if you want to pass through the storms of this life and all the crippling challenges of sickness and disease and depression and division and hatred and everything that comes at us in this world, if you want to live beyond death, if you want to live a whole new life in this world, it comes from Jesus. It comes from believing in him and taking in his word in faith. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, what does that mean? That God is eternal life, divine life. It's in him. God is a person. God's real. God's life is what's created everything. It's what holds all life in being. We participate in his life, in his creation. It says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So Jesus continues to drive home the point that he and the Father are one, that he's equal to the Father, and he's driving the religious leaders mad. Verse 27, and has given, God the Father has given him, that is Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Jesus has God's life in him, and Jesus possesses God's authority. He's the Son of Man. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. And boy, he's drilling down right to the truth, and he's exposing the condition of their heart. Verse 28, do not marvel at this. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. For the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. The destiny of the human race, every one will rise at the command of the voice of Jesus of Nazareth. All the angels will gather with him, Scripture says, the mighty angels. I mean, think about this. If you saw an angel today, you'd want to bow down and worship it. You'd be shocked. I would too. We would be shocked at its majesty and its beauty and its power and its otherworldliness. It would cause us to tremble with a kind of holy fear. That's healthy. That's a healthy response. What do the angels say every time they come? Even to Mary, who was sinless, she said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. That's a right response to that kind of power and majesty. But Jesus will come in. All the angels, all the principalities, everything in creation will bow down before the power of Jesus Christ. All power in heaven and earth, Jesus said, belongs to him. And those who have done good. That is, what's the first good thing we do? Is we receive Jesus. By his grace, his mercy, he reveals himself to us through the preaching of the gospel. He's revealed in nature, but he's perfectly revealed in the good news of the gospel for us. And we receive it, and receiving it means we understand that we stand condemned before God, the living God, that we are sin sick, and that at our core, we're in need of salvation and redemption. And we accept his diagnosis of us, and we repent of our sin. We say, yes, yes, Jesus, you're right about me, and I have sinned against you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. So we enter that relationship in faith, but Scripture's so clear, faith without works is dead, and faith expresses itself in love to do the will of the Father, to will the good of others. And Jesus said, those who are living this way, not by their own deeds, like we don't save ourselves by accumulating enough goodness to prove to Jesus that we've saved ourselves and now we can enter heaven. That's not how it works. Even our good works are the result of his action in us. We're simply saying yes to his will. And it's his grace and his strength and his power at work in us in his Holy Spirit who's helping us be conformed to him and to become holy. But those who are walking that path, Jesus, they will rise and they will come, he says, to the resurrection of life to enter the kingdom of God. But those who haven't done it, those who have resisted his will, who insist on their own worldview and their own way of looking at reality and living my truth, my way, my. They will, Jesus says, they will rise to the resurrection of judgment. And they will hear the voice of the Son of Man. I mean, think of the many parables we hear also in Lent where Jesus talks about, for example, the master who's gone away and his men servants and maid servants have eaten and gotten drunk and beaten their servants and done whatever they want to do. Jesus said, then the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. Friends, the destiny of those who die in their sin is judgment. And Jesus uses the terms wrath. That beautiful passage in the first chapter of John's gospel. The true light which enlightens every man has come into the world. He was in the world and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. For those who do not accept Jesus and the offer of mercy, they will die, and at the command of Jesus, they will rise to judgment and eternal separation from God. Friends, that's why Lent is so important. The church is dead serious about this stuff because her master has told us the truth about the destiny of the human race. Friends, let's embrace it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.